Let us now turn in God's Word to Psalm 56 as our text and as our scripture reading this morning. Let us read together the 13 verses of Psalm 56. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what can flesh do to me. All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together, they hide, they mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape by iniquity? In anger cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you. For you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's word this morning, we are reminded of the trials of David, of the danger in which his life was for so many times. And yet in the midst of that, we realize that God cared for him. God took care of him through it all. David was between a rock and a hard place. This psalm, if we read the inscription above it, which of course are not inspired by God but can be good helps for us, to the chief musician, set to the silent dove in distant lands, a miktam of David when the Philistines captured him in Gath. David is running away from Saul. David has run into the land of Philistia and he has taken shelter in the area of Gath. And David is brought before Achish, king of Gath, and he is captured there, and he is in grave danger. And there he played the madman. He played like he was insane so that he would not have to go to prison there. And so as we look at God's word this morning, we see David reiterating his trust in Almighty God, his trust in the great God and Lord of the universe. David, between this rock and a hard place, reminds himself where he has trusted. And so often as Christians, we live in this life, we walk along through the easy days, and when it gets really hard, then, well, do I really believe this stuff I've been going to church about and hearing about all my life? And as we read here, we see David reminding himself that he trusts God, that God is the one who cares for him through all of this. And brothers and sisters, we do not need to fear man. We do not need to worry in the worst of situations. Because as Christians, we can say with David, I will not fear, what can man do to me? And he says, verse 9, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. If we are Christians, we can have that confidence as well, that God is for us. And so God hears our prayers. And notice, God needs to be the first place we go when we are in danger, when we are in trial. So often we think that idea that we don't have a prayer, and a prayer is the last thing, and a prayer isn't important. No, a prayer is the most important, because we are addressing our concerns, our needs, to Almighty God. And God is the one who can truly change the universe for us, his people. And so as we look at this passage, the theme, as we look at it, is trust in God swallows up the fear of man. That's the theme that we want to see as we consider these words of God in Psalm 56. In the first 7 verses, we see that in danger of man, God's people trust in him. And in verses 8 through 13, we see that God provides victory over death. What can man do to us? So as we look at this passage, first of all, in danger of man, God's people trust in him. We look to God when man fights against us. He says, God be merciful to me, for man fights against and oppresses me. God ought to be that first place that we go. but especially when man is fighting against us. David's statement is that man would swallow him up. Knowing David's situation, his statement is very understandable. Man is seeking to swallow him up, to destroy him from all sides. He's being oppressed from all sides. And where does he turn? He turns to God for help. No matter what our problem, we can come to God, even when it is our own fault. Now, this, of course, wasn't David's own fault. Yet here he comes to God. He bows before God and he says, I put my trust in you. I hope in you. He says, my enemies would hound me all day, and they're after me, and there are many of them. Not only are they after him, they're like hounds. They're very near. They're on his trail. They're getting very close to him. And there are many, he says, who fight against me. This is not just Saul and Achish. It's all their henchmen coming after him. We have to see how bad this situation truly is for David. I think too often we think a bad situation is one where we have a little difficulty. Perhaps a hangnail. So often we are worried about the smallest things as human beings. We have to see how horrific David's situation is. And yet God is the one who protects him. Yes, David uses the abilities he has. But God is the one who gives the increase, the ability to do that. And we need not fear what man can do to us, because we do trust in God. He says, when I am afraid, I trust in God. Where do we go when we are afraid? That's a very important question. The psalmist, again and again, not just David, but many of the psalmists, remind us that we need to be accustomed to going to God in difficulties, in trials. Because otherwise, when the going gets really tough, when the trials get really bad, we won't know where to go. And so we need to practice going to God. We need to practice being in God's presence. God is the Lord of the universe. He alone can help us. And God must be then that first place we go in prayer, because God does hear us. And we must put our trust in him. There are so many other places that we easily put our trust, whether it be in the doctors when we're having health difficulties, whether it be in the agronomist when we want our crops to go well, or so many other people that we come up with as human beings. And yes, these are all tools by which we use them to serve God. God is the final most important thing. So often we serve the stuff. We run after that tool. Well, I don't care how good your wrenches are, worshiping and running after a tool is not the most important thing, but what we can do with that tool in service of Almighty God is the most important thing. And he says, we put our trust in him, I will trust in you when I'm afraid. Even when we fear, even when we are in danger, that is the best time to go to God and put our trust and our hope in him. He says, I put my trust in God. I don't need to fear. What can flesh do to me? Just the fact of God's word deserves our praise. And that's what he says here. Verse 4. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. Just that fact of God's word, that God speaks to us and tells us about himself, and beyond that about salvation, deserves our praise. We must trust God. We do not need to fear anything else. When we trust God, we don't need to fear other things. We need to consciously put our trust in God, especially in those times in which we are tempted to fear. When we fear, when we become worried about our own lives, more important than about serving and glorifying God, then we make ourselves an idol instead of serving and worshiping the God of the universe. He says, I will not fear. Sometimes fear that is not necessary overtakes us, and we must stand against that fear when it comes. We must understand fear and understand that we as human beings so easily get caught up in fear. And what's a huge danger that goes on in our culture? Everybody's driven by fear. And we as Christians need to be able to look over things. We need to be able to analyze what's going on. And we need to be reminded to come back to Almighty God, to place our trust and to reiterate our trust firmly in God and not in the things of this world and not in mankind. And so David strengthens himself in the knowledge that nothing man can do to us really can hurt us. What can man do to me? Nothing. Remember what Jesus said. Don't fear man. What can man do? The worst they can do is kill us. Fear God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And by the way, the Heidelberg Catechism reminds us that without God's will, no creature can so much as move. All things are so in his hand, all things are so in Almighty God's hand, that we do not need to fear them because they can't move without God's say-so. And though they gather together against God's people, God is the one who will cast them down. He says, they twist my words all day long. They think evil toward me all the time. We're given this picture of how dangerous it really was for David in these verses, in verses 5 and 6. In the midst of this, again, as we've been saying, he places his trust in God, and that God is the one who will defend him. We think we're powerful. We think we're able to defend ourselves. No way. God is the one who can provide safety and victory for his people. He says, all day these people do this. And often it seems like it. Evil is always pushing, always seems to be finding a way. Do we lose our trust in God, in the God of the Bible, and try to get our advantage somewhere else? He says, they twist my words. David was having his words twisted by Saul, by Achish, by the others he mentions. The wicked often twist our words to try to get our better. And half-truths are still lies. As Christians, we must not be those who twist the truth in order to make ourselves sound better. These are lies too, and lies are the tools of the devil, not of God and not of Christians. And he says, all their thoughts are against me for evil. The only reason Saul or David's other enemies thought about him was to plan evil against him. Sadly, this also is true today, especially for those who hate the Christian faith, thinking evil against those who are Christians. He says, they gather together, they lie in wait for my life. Those seeking David's life are getting together, and it is getting more and more dangerous for him. They hide, he says, they mark my steps. They stalk him, they know where he goes, so that they're able to take him down. They lie in wait for his life. They're gathered around David, stalking his movements, waiting for him to make a mistake. Now, David's enemies were not as unified as he felt that they were, and they often are not. But this is often how it feels to us in the midst of trial. And in the midst of this, David focuses on God, not on this fear of man, not on the worry that so easily overtakes us as human beings, but he focuses himself back on God. And that is what we need to do when we are fearing, when we are beginning to be worried about mankind. We need to put our eyes back on God, back in his word. And then these other things will not be so scary, not be so problematic for us. And he says, are they going to escape by wickedness? God cast down the peoples, verse 7. In the midst of this review of the danger of his situation, God calls on God, shall they escape by their own iniquity? Is God going to let these people, these wicked people, get away with it? And the same question may be asked today as people seek to fight against God and against his church. Are they going to get away with it? When we think of those who persecute Christians and we hear about them, things from them coming out of Muslim lands, and when we hear about the things going on in China or even in our own backyards, we need to be reminded that God is the one who gives the victory, and God will judge. God is not going to allow these wicked people to get away with it. And so, even though it may seem that way, we need to be reminded and remind ourselves that, yes, judgment is coming for them, and God will judge. God will bring them fully to their needs for judgment. And so David calls down God's anger upon the peoples. He says, in anger, cast down the peoples. Look at how God's people do this. We ought to be praying that God would bring down righteousness upon the world, that God would bring righteousness to bear in our lives, and that God would cast down the wicked. The Apostle James puts it this way You have not because you ask not. We need to be those who are readily asking in prayer, often and with all of our being, in fasting for the truth and the righteousness of God to be revealed. And God is the one who can cast down the wicked, and we ought to be applying ourselves to his throne of grace, that he would cast down the wicked who fight against him, against his people, against his church. And so as we consider the events that are going on in David's lives, the events going on in our own world, in danger of man, God's people put their trust in him. And now we look at the verses 8 through 13, and we see that God provides victory over death. What can man do to us? God is the one who gathers our tears. God is the one who provides victory for his people. God, we read here, knows our wanderings. He numbers them. Notice the juxtaposition. God numbers our wanderings. For us, our lives sometimes seem like we're just going places, wandering through lives. And yet, God says he numbers them. He orderly directs them to our good and to his glory as Christians. And furthermore, David calls on God to put his tears into his bottle. That God would put David's tears into his bottle in such an awesome picture. Knowing that God knows our tears. In fact, the next part of this passage reminds us of that fact. Are they not in your book? David asks. God knows our tears. God cares about every tear that falls in his service. And God cares about every tear that falls, period. And so David cries out to God that God would look upon his tears, upon his dangers, and give him safety. And those next words remind us of God's sovereign care for us. Are they not in your book? God is sovereign over our tears. He does not cause us a needless pain. And he says, these are in God's books, set up by God. He knows our tears. He cares about each one which falls. And David continues, when I cry to you, my enemies turn back because God is for me. What did we say? We have not because we ask not. When I cry to you, my enemies turn back. God hears our cries. God uses our cries to him to bring things about. Prayer changes things. And David knew this because God was for him. Well, we can have that confidence as Christians as well, that God is for us if we are Christians. If we are in Christ, God hears our prayers and will act on our behalf. I'm looking forward in the coming months to start a study of prayer in Sunday school. I'm looking forward to that opportunity, the Lord willing. And we can trust God against the danger of man. In God, in the Lord, I will praise his word, David says, verse 10. In God, reminding himself of whom he is talking about. God, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Savior, in the Lord, in the fact that God is our Master, is our King. He is our Protector. And we read, we will praise His Word. We talked about that earlier, but we need to be reminded of the Word of God, which is more firm than the foundation beneath our feet, more firm than the ground beneath our feet, that God's Word will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot, not the smallest letter, or one tittle, not the smallest punctuation mark will fall from God's word before all is fulfilled. And so God speaks to us in his word. The word became flesh as well and dwelt among us, bringing salvation. Of course, that's Jesus. And I will put my trust in God and am not afraid, David said. What can man do to me? Again, we're paralleling verse 4. Going back there, David reestablishes his mind on where his hope and where his safety is in God. And we need to do that. It's so easy for us to be pulled aside, pulled away. We need to reestablish our hearts and say, no, God is God. God is Lord. God is the one who speaks to us. God is the one who saves us. And we're going to see that more as we continue in this passage. And so David reestablishes his mind, reestablishes his hope. In God I have put my trust, I will not be afraid. When we're tempted to be afraid, we strengthen our previous commitment to not fear man, to not be afraid. What can man do to me? As we've said, the worst that man can do is nothing compared to what God can do. And God is the one who delivers us from death. He keeps us so that we can walk before Him. We vow to God and praise Him, we read in verse 12. David has believed in God. His vows to that end hold him to God. Sometimes, yes, the only thing in ourselves that hold us to God is the vows that we have made to Him. Yet in the midst of this, we as Christians bring the praise of God to Him, because God is the one who is saving us. See the last verse that we'll look at in a few moments here. God is the one who delivers us from death. He is the one who keeps us from falling. And He does that for a purpose, so that we walk before Him, so that we walk in the light of the living. God is the one who delivers us from death. God is the one who keeps us from falling. God can do that. No other being, no other ability can do that. God is the one who does that. And look at David's life. God is the one who kept him from falling, even sometimes in spite of himself. Think of Abigail and Nabal. God is the one who delivered David's life again and again from earthly destruction. But God delivered him not only from earthly destruction, God delivered David from eternal destruction, from hell. That was also in spite of David, if we think of the other sins that David committed in his life. And so, God is the one who saves us. And what does God save us for? God saves us so that He would be glorified. And that's one very important aspect of our purpose as humankind. If you know the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question answer 1, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We're here to glorify God. And God saved David from this trouble so that God's name would be glorified. And God saves us for that purpose as well. And we walk around before the world, around us, so that they can see that God saves, that God has saved us. So often we want it to seem like we were just okay. God just had to push us over that edge into heaven. But we need to understand, and we need to readily witness, not to say, look how bad I was, but we need to readily witness to the fact that God saved this miserable sinner. I deserve hell. And God saved me. And God gives me eternal life, not because I'm worthy, but because of His awesome salvation, because He is an awesome God. And so, brothers and sisters, as we consider this passage of God's Word, where is our hope? What are we doing with our lives? And as we look at this passage, we need to be reminded that we're here to glorify God. We're saved for that purpose. And we need not fear man. What can man do to us? We're here to glorify the God who saves sinners, who saves those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. How awesome is our God. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of Your grace to us. We stand in awe of Your mercy to sinners, that we are worthy of the least of Your benefits, that we are not worthy of anything from You. We are worthy only of Your judgment, and yet, Lord, You call us out of darkness, out of the pit of hell, and give to us eternal life. You give us purpose on this world, and we pray, Lord, that Your name would be glorified through us. We pray, Lord, that we would not fear man. What can man do to us in the deepest and darkest of pits, as David was here? Yet he reminds himself, he strengthens himself on his commitment to glorify You. And we pray, Lord, that no matter what comes upon us in this world, we would not be those who dishonor You, but that we would be those who honor the great God, the great Savior, and that others would see our lives and glorify You. For we pray this in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.